From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Millions of Americans have been hearing the testimony and watching the videos gathered by the U.S. House of Representatives Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. In 2 days of hearings so far, members of Congress have shown how top aides told President Donald Trump again and again that he lost the 2020 election and there was no voter fraud significant enough to change that outcome. One of the Republicans on the panel is Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger. He was scheduled to lead tomorrow's hearing, but that's been postponed. Nevertheless, earlier this week, he told CBS that January 6 was only part of Trump's efforts to overturn the election.
Wednesday, I'm actually leading a hearing specifically talking about the Justice Department moves. But you saw a president that spreads misinformation, tries to install his own people into justice to do his bidding, justice which is supposed to be, you know, representative of all of us, pressures the vice president, and then eventually when he can't get his way, he tries to pressure Congress through not just public pressure, but in a public attack.
Later this hour, we'll talk with two experts in politics and political violence to get their impressions of the hearings. We also want to hear from you at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. But we're beginning today with the 30 known Illinoisans who have been charged with crimes related to the insurrection. To learn more about where their cases stand, we're joined by John Seidel, federal courts reporter with the Chicago Sun-Times. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for being here. So these defendants, they come from across Illinois, Springfield, Danville, Naperville in the suburbs, Glen Carbon, which is on the Illinois side of St. Louis. Perhaps most notable is 24-year-old James Elliott. Can you talk about where is he from? What charges does he face?
Sure. And you're right. James Elliott, who I believe was charged finally late last year. Yeah, it was late in December. He's from Aurora. He faces, I believe, multiple felonies. He is the one known Illinois member of the Proud Boys to be charged in connection with the Capitol riot. And, you know, the Proud Boys has been one of an area of focus for investigators. I believe we saw seditious conspiracy charges against members of that group earlier this week. It was one of the, as you said, we have 30 people charged. Only a few of these cases involve allegations of violence, though, and prosecutors say that Jim Elliott, he was carrying a flag and was beckoning rioters toward a police line during the Capitol breach, and he was actually shouting this line that prosecutors said was from the movie 300, yelling, "Patriots, what is your occupation?" And then he also used a flagpole to try and hit. He swung it at police on two occasions. He was also dressed in this black tactical gear and had a radio with him. It's definitely the case that stands out the most among the Illinois cases and probably carries the most serious penalties if he's convicted.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the charges here. Assaulting an officer, entering a restricted building with a weapon, disorderly conduct in a restricted building with a weapon, engaging in violence in a restricted building with a weapon, and engaging in an act of physical violence in the Capitol, among others. There are two tracks, really, for these charges, right? There are the people who trespassed, but maybe, you know, were not in the sort of helmet and Kevlar vest groups versus, you know, those who seem to set out with more of a, you know, violent intention, allegedly anyway.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely the case. I mean, we have three or four, I think, cases in Illinois that allege violence. A lot of these others are people, frankly, I've got to say, who walked into the building that day when they weren't supposed to be there. And for that, they face misdemeanors, and most of those who have pleaded guilty, with one exception, they've received probation for it. But the threshold that I've been seeing for a lot of the Illinois cases seems to be if you entered the building. What's been interesting, especially lately, is the more recent cases. These are people who have been identified to the FBI back in January of 2021. They're just now being charged, which I think speaks to just the backlog and the amount of work investigators have been going through.
Wow. So, all right, let's talk about another one of these individuals. Auburn is a small town, 4,700 people. It's in Sangamon County, which is also where Springfield is located. It's also home to alleged insurrectionist Shane Woods. What is he accused of?
So Shane Woods was charged, I believe, almost a year ago. And he was actually the first of the entire group of people charged in a Capitol riot to be accused of assaulting a member of the news media. But that really is not all he did. He also is accused of tackling a Capitol police officer. There was a moment outside the building where someone had sprayed bear mace toward the officers. And there was one officer whose visor had been covered with the mace, but nonetheless was trying to run toward whoever it was who sprayed it. And, you know, of course, her vision was obstructed. Mr. Woods is accused of stepping in, tripping her, and pushing that officer to the ground. There's also another moment in which he's accused of, climbing over a fence near a media staging area outside the Capitol building, and also coming up to a cameraman who was facing away from Mr. Woods and tackling him, and then departing quickly, as prosecutors put it. So Mr. Woods is actually, he could wind up being the first Illinoisan to face trial. He's last I checked, he is scheduled to go to trial September 19th out in Washington, D.C. If that holds, I believe he would be the first person from Illinois to go to trial as a result of the riot.
You know, there's so much video evidence of the January 6th assault on the Capitol, not just surveillance footage, some of which we saw for the first time in the hearing last week, but also people making their own videos and posting them to social media, live streaming what they were doing. One defendant alleged to have been caught on camera committing violence is Matthew Caspell. Can you talk about his case?
Sure. He was charged very early on. Actually, I think just a few weeks after the riot. And you're right, he was caught on a TikTok video. He was actually outside of the Capitol building. I believe it was at night. And there was kind of a back and forth between protesters and members, I believe, of the National Guard. And there's a TikTok video of a person alleged to be Mr. Capsule charging up against a group of National Guardsmen who are in full uniform with riot shields. He ran right into their protective shields before, I believe, being pepper sprayed. So he was one of the very first that we saw to be charged. And his case is one of those that's just still pending. I think they're trying to figure out exactly how they want to resolve that case.
Yeah, and thank you. I think I misstated his name. Capsell, yeah. Matthew Capsell is the name of the defendant we're talking about. Apparently a former neighbor and social media friend identified him from this video, according to an AP report I read, in part because of a tattoo on his face. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In the wake of the ongoing congressional hearings over the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, we're catching up on some of the 30 people from Illinois who have been charged with crimes related to that. We're talking with John Seidel, federal courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Well, we have learned, we knew right away, pretty recently after the attacks, that five police officers died in connection with the insurrection. And that includes four who committed suicide. There were 150 officers wounded in the attack. And yet one of the alleged insurrectionists is a Chicago police officer. Tell us about his case.
Yeah, Carl Cheswick. That case certainly made headlines. Not only is he a Chicago police officer, he actually he wore a Chicago police hoodie to the Capitol riot. He's accused of bragging in text messages about his role, and he actually was seen in Senator Merkley's office during the riot. There are no actual allegations of violence here. But it certainly caught a lot of attention because this is, as you said, this is a Chicago police officer who's engaging in all of this. And, as well as I think, you know, there's some information in the complaint against him about being led into this with all of these stop the steal, these allegations of fraud in the election. And I believe there was some commentary in the complaint against him about how he wanted to save the country, and he had minimized some of the decisions that had been made in the courts about the 2020 election. This was also one of the cases. You mentioned all of the video. You're absolutely right. Investigators have so much video to comb through. There's also just a lot of data, cell phone data, information where they have gathered information from Google and, you know, these other tech companies about where everyone's phone was. And it's just been really interesting to watch as investigators track all of these individuals around the Capitol. I believe Mr. Cheswick's case is one of those examples.
So for the people, and maybe there's, you can differentiate, you know, the sort of severity of the charges for those who are charged with more insurrection-related crimes versus just trespassing. But are the people, how do I say this? Are they proud of what they did? Yes, I did it before. I'd do it again to, you know, quote unquote, stop the steal. Or are they showing remorse for taking part in what happened that day?
As you can imagine, there's been kind of a mix. There have definitely been individuals who have shown remorse. These are some of the people who just kind of walked into the building that day, walked out. There was a couple, I believe, from Crest Hill. I believe it was John and Amy Schubert who they pleaded guilty to misdemeanors. They had climbed through a broken window into the Senate, but they talked to the judge about their attorney basically put them on a reading list just to give them a little bit broader perspective about the world. And at least in their commentary to the judge, they definitely showed quite a bit of remorse for what they did and for the role they played in this event. There certainly have been others who have taken a different approach. I'm actually thinking about, there was an individual, Roy Franklin, who was charged. I believe he actually was on the Senate floor. I think there were two Illinoisans who have been charged with making their way to the Senate floor during the riots. He was charged later last year, and he was one of the few individuals who actually spoke to me on the phone. He spoke to me the day that he was charged, and he told me straight up, he was arrested for supporting Donald Trump. That was his position, at least at the time that he was arrested. Now, that's been a few months. I don't know if he's changed his mind, but you're absolutely right. We've seen a spectrum of reactions to this.
So what is procedurally next? What are you keeping an eye on? I mean, you mentioned some people have gotten probation. You mentioned the trial maybe coming up. I imagine that some of these individuals face more severe sentences than probation.
Yeah, certainly, including, for example, the gentleman that we have spoken about, including Jim Elliott. So my job at the Sun-Times, I'm tracking all of these cases to try and keep an eye on what happens with people from our state. I think we can probably expect to see more guilty pleas, probably more probation sentences for a lot of them. But obviously the trial of Shane Woods will be interesting. He's one who could face jail time. Of course, he hasn't been convicted yet, but if he were to be, that's, you know, we'd watch for sentencing. So, you know, this is a massive event that gets talked about with a broad brush a lot for obvious reasons. But as far as the prosecutions go, these are all on an individual basis. And so I'm trying to keep track. Matthew Capsule, he was charged back in January 2021. We're still waiting for a resolution to that case. There are a group, I believe, that pleaded guilty recently. They still have to be sentenced. So they're all on their own individual track, just as it would be with any other court case. So we're watching for that. We're watching to see if anybody else is charged.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. So you are sort of, I don't know if you're anticipating, but I mean, it's quite possible that more people could be arrested as the federal government continues going through the evidence.
I don't think there's any sign that investigators are done or are slowing down. I mean, maybe they're trying to build larger cases now with some of these seditious conspiracy cases, which I have to admit, we haven't seen a lot of signs of any Illinoisans being involved in those. That could change. But I would expect that we're not done with this yet.
John Seidel covers the federal courts for the Chicago Sun-Times. We've been talking about the 30 Illinoisans so far charged in connection with the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. John, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us on the 21st show.
Happy to do it. Take care.
Coming up after the break, we're going to continue talking about the hearings. We're going to be speaking with two experts in politics and political violence. We want to hear from you as well. What do you think about how the hearings are going so far? Do you think anyone's mind is going to be changed? People will be convinced by what they might be seeing. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st comes from The Land Connection, featuring an online course for farm businesses on launching a cottage food or value-added enterprise. The course covers risk, marketing, sales strategies, and more. Full details and registration at thelandconnection.org.